previously on Wisco Weekly.
Here in LA, we are trying to build out different modes of transportation, and that's what the program is about tonight. The program put on by the International Project Finance Association is about the rise of alternative transportation options and how those alternative transportation options are changing our lives and could further revolutionize commercial real estate, commuting, living, and working. Unfortunately, as we all live here and are affected by this, in the last 70 years, the United States has primarily focused on building its infrastructure for personal vehicles. That's why there is this discomfort, because that's all what we're used to, because that's what has been built. But as the old infrastructure becomes a battleground for all of these transportation options, whether that's micromobility, whether that's trains, whether that's or flying cars soon, what infrastructure is needed to usher in the necessary changes? Who's going to pay for that infrastructure? How large of a role should private industry play in spaces traditionally occupied by the government? That's what this segment is going to be about tonight. We have some exciting speakers. We've got a representative from Hyperloop. We've got a representative from VIA. We've got a representative from KPMG. We've got an infrastructure finance investment banker. We have a
guest who was on Wisco Weekly.
We got Jeff Wardle, the man with the design plan. And it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to be moderating it. And it's going to be right here on our right next to our beautiful balcony, checking out downtown Los Angeles. And this is one of the best times.
This is Wisco Weekly, an automotive business podcast sharing the voices of automakers, automotive retailers, and transportation professionals who are driving and shaping the future of automotive.
You are now tuned in to the Wisco Weekly Experience.
Chicken brown, chicken brown. Go! Yeah, there you go. Nice, Kelly. You know, kind of loosens people up here a little bit. Listeners, welcome to Wisco Weekly, your automotive business podcast, sharing the voices of automakers, automotive retailers, and transportation professionals who are driving and shaping the future of automotive. What you just heard there was a clip that myself, Kelly Cruz, and Rudy Solo, all who are in the house, that we recorded back a few weeks ago prior to an event that was put on by the International Project Finance Association. And specifically, the event name was the IPFA Americas, Los Angeles. Hold on, let's do this again. The event name was IPFA Americas, : Los Angeles, : Arriving at the Speed of Sound, - Hyperloop One and Mobility, which occurred on March 14th at the beautiful offices of Nixon Peabody in downtown Los Angeles. Rudy Solo served as a moderator of the event. There was a panel of speakers, and Kelly and I were in attendance being students, listening in to people and professionals talk about financing of infrastructure and what the future is going to look like when you do have different modes of transportation.
I like the way that you teed that up, because it wasn't something where you said, you know, if this happens, about what the future is going to look like. You basically assumed in that statement that the future is going to look different. And that's my hope. Because if we can all think about it, if we can create this positive image in our brain of alternatives other than just a personal vehicle, then maybe it will actually come into existence. Because the more and more that I speak it and I say it and I spew it out and I just plant these seeds out there, people think that this stuff is already happening. It's around the corner. And maybe it will be around the corner if all of the other things occur that need to occur, like rebuilding our infrastructure, like changing our minds, like approaching things differently.
Now, I think there's one asterisk that we need to put on this, kind of like they put on Barry Bonds' home runs. And that is, in the same way Barry Bonds was this, you know, home run hitter, I know that, you know, this is, you're going to get a compliment. So that's the punchline here.
I'm already smiling. I'm giddy. So just draw it out a little bit more. Nobody compliments me.
So, as a student in the audience, or as a participant in the audience, the manner in which you communicate what is going on in this future, especially in comparison to the panels that were there. And again, Jeff Wardle was there. Love Jeff Wardle. He's one of my favorite dudes. And he can get away with much more with that sweet British accent of his, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're up there talking about it, and it's almost like, I mean...
Passion.
A lot of passion. Excitement. To the point where, like, you can get mesmerized by it because, again, the manner in which you talk about these things, Rudy, it makes people, even people like Kelly and I who know you, we want to listen in, we want to know more, we want to do more.
I don't want his head to get any bigger, but...
My head, that's the hair, it's the hairstyle.
Okay, right.
Yeah, great hair. I actually don't have a big head. I've got self-esteem and confidence issues. I just thought I'd get a little open with you guys, since you guys just, flowered me with compliments. I don't even know what to say. Are my cheeks red?
A little more coming before we turned the other side. But I thought it was very professionally done. I thought it was well organized and thought out. You could tell that you had thought about the questions ahead of time. I think had even delivered to the panelists the questions ahead of time because they were very well prepared. But yet you didn't sound rehearsed while you were moderating. So it was very kind of in the moment, like I said, with excitement and very well done from that standpoint.
Thank you. I don't know what to say other than to say thank you both for coming up from behind the orange curtain up to Los Angeles, which I know it's very difficult for anybody down here. I escaped the orange curtain many years ago, so I know how difficult it is. But really, it meant a lot to have my teammates in the audience watching me perform, quote unquote, laying out where my business interests, my legal interests, and my passion for transportation all coming together in one event to show people how important it is to start rethinking the way that we live and the way that we move. And the fact that you guys took the train up, you normally wouldn't have done that, but you're starting to implement some of the things that I'm saying on here. It means a lot. Having you guys there gave me more confidence
Now our heads are getting bigger.
It was helpful.
I get nervous sometimes when people I know are in the room.
No. Having you guys in there gave me that extra oomph I needed to kick ass that night.
I honestly went into the event not knowing what to expect. I kind of said ahead of time, what do I need to do to prepare? What are we doing this evening? And it was like, just show up, which I don't like to be unprepared. But it worked out with some mingling ahead of time and after the event. And during the event, it really took my appreciation for transportation and kind of the future of transportation to a whole new level. So I think, even in that short amount of time, really opened my eyes to all the aspects of transportation from, kind of what form of transportation it is and the infrastructure that's involved and the financing and all the people that it takes to make things happen and make changes. So that was really, I thought, inspirational.
Kelly, especially that being your first event, I feel like perhaps maybe Rudy and I did not prepare you enough. I know that you said you didn't prepare
me at all.
Which was great. It's perfect that you didn't prepare her.
We didn't prepare you at all. Because to a certain extent, I take all that, but I retract all that. You have been prepared as a co-host on this show. So you are very much prepared. So that is, you've insulted us.
Unintentionally prepared me.
To be fair to Dennis, the same guy that's speaking behind this microphone right now and maybe speaking too close to it, I haven't been able to tell, Dennis hasn't told me to move back yet, is the exact same person when I'm moderating. Like, I don't put on a different act. Like, mm-hmm. I go wherever I'm at, no matter how professional it is, whether it's in my law office, whether it's at a conference, I just do my thing. So you were slightly prepared because I was no different. I would hope you guys would agree with that.
I mean, I don't want to agree anymore with you, man, because seriously, there's not enough room in this conference room for me, Kelly, in your head.
Thank you. You're being ridiculous as you always are. So now let's get to a more difficult topic. Dennis, you said that you had not criticism, but you want to address something.
Constructive feedback. Perhaps.
I want as much feedback as humanly possible because here are my goals. My main goal is to educate everybody about the different transportation options that are out there, to think differently about them. Why? Because we really need to think differently about our infrastructure. We need to appreciate it. We need to be willing to spend more on it, or change the way we're financing it or using it, sharing it, whether that's designated lanes so you can have more micro mobility options, or other smaller type vehicles, more trackless people movers, anything. We need to rethink our roads to share them away from the personal vehicle so we can usher in this transportation revolution. That's my number one goal. My number one goal is altruistic. I really want to change the way that we commute, the way we get around. Number two, I do those conferences and those seminars because I want to become a better speaker, and becoming a better speaker meaning I want to be a better educator, and I want to get people more involved and feeling good about the topic. So to hear that the passion is coming through and that you guys are interested in it is great. So now I want to know how I could do better, number one, and number two, how the message could be put across to people who are not in the transportation game. Like you guys don't work in the transportation sector. You do automotive and you're a lawyer as well. One of the main reasons why I got onto this show, thanks to you, is to speak to a different audience. People who, you know, the automotive dealers, people who like to think about the cars. Because I'm telling you right now, I go to a lot of these events, and you've been to a couple of them now, and a lot of them, it's like an echo chamber. It's just a bunch of people talking to the same people, thinking the exact same way, and it's not going to be that helpful. You're not going to impact as many people unless you go out and talk to different people.
So that kind of steps into my territory of what my observation of the event, where I agree it was very much an echo chamber, and yes, initially it felt really good, right? It felt good to be in a room with like-minded individuals who we all had a clear goal in mind. Where the switch flipped a bit for me was during the Q&A, and I asked a question. And the question I had asked was, I asked it to all the panel members, and it was, you know, in the United States, there were 17 million new cars sold and about 40 million used cars sold, and there's about 270 million cars in circulation in the United States. This future that we've all been talking about, give me a number on how many cars that we need to get down to the United States to have this future.
A great question.
And
a tough question, but a great question.
Tough question. Jeff Wardle provided an answer, and his answer was, to be honest with you, I don't even remember specifically what it was, other than to suggest that there's always going to be a form of car ownership, right? But I was extremely disappointed that nobody else wanted to answer that question. So then it started to settle in that there was to be a little bit more hypercritical, I will admit this is me being hypercritical, is that while I do believe that everyone in the room is fanatical about the cause, I dare anyone to drink the Kool-Aid along with it. So meaning that, I mean, there was one gentleman that came up from Orange County that Kelly and I met, and who was gracious enough to even offer us a ride back to Orange County later on.
We should
on.
Have accepted that.
And we should have
after
accepted that.
We had a bad
that.
Experience on the way home, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, Kelly and I took an Uber on the way back home, and that was not very good at all. But, you know, he drove up. And it would, to me, it, I started to look at the room where, okay, everybody here, we're all for this future of transportation. We're all for these alternate modes of transportation to figure out a better system to decongest traffic, to gain more productivity, to do all these things. But then after I asked that question, there was a part of me that then thought about every single individual in that room and actually how many people would would actually do what it's to do what it takes to get there. And I did not have any confidence that 90% of the people in that room would do the things that we all need to do.
Practice what you preach.
Right.
Yeah, and I appreciate that point. I do practice what I preach. And when I tell people, yes, I live in the South Bay, but I primarily get around by using public transportation, a combination of a bus, a combination of light rail, and I use ride sharing primarily to get around. When I say that to people, a lot of them go, wow, that's really cool. That's great. But many people still just drive their cars. You're completely correct in that people like to talk about the cause, but there are very, very few people that are implementing the changes, implementing the mindset shift right now.
And look,
there are some,
but let me add one more thing to it. You know, there are people in attendance that work at companies that are obviously trying to further this cause of, you know, alternate modes of transportation. But dare I say that those people, you would look at them more as a quote unquote employee, meaning that, you know, hey, they work for the company, they take a paycheck and they're happy to sing the messages. But at the end of the day, no, they would not look to decrease the amount of cars in their household. They would not look to say, you know what, I am going to start doing more of transit ridership as a way to, again, practice what we preach.
Look, I know some of the audience members there. I know some of them drove. I do know that some of them took the bus. There was a specific two people, somebody named Scott Schultz, who does this program called Busted, where it's actually an open mic speaking forum every single month throughout Los Angeles, and I'm one of the guest speakers at. And it's about real stories of people who live in LA without a car. So I had that there. So I am inviting those people. I am bringing in people that, you know, drink the Kool-Aid and actually advocate for the Kool-Aid. It's just going to take time. And it's going to take people like you, like me, like Kelly, talking about this type of stuff. It takes time. For 70 years, all of our infrastructure has been built with one thing in mind, the personal vehicle. That's not going to change overnight. I'd like it to change overnight, but you still need to build out transit systems. You still need to build out train systems. You still need to build out micro-mobility dedicated lanes. You still need to build out things where you can use smaller shuttles and trackless people movers. And you know how you're going to build that stuff out? It's going to cost a lot of money. And it's going to cost a lot in infrastructure. That's going to take a long time for people to be willing to, quote unquote, open up their wallets more. I brought up the point that night, that electric cars don't pay their fair share in infrastructure finance with respect to the gas tax. Now, in California and in a lot of the California counties, we have the half-cent sales tax measure. A lot of our transit and some of our road funding comes from sales tax. So if you go down to the store and you buy things and you have a sales tax on in California, you're paying for it. However, the primary mode of funding transportation projects throughout the entire country as a whole is the gas tax. Electric vehicles don't pay gas. So they're not paying their fair share. So I called out my friend, my colleague, who is at a new electric car company. And I said, you know, Eric, we've talked about this before and you understand where I'm coming from, but electric car companies probably need to start thinking about, gee, how do we start paying more for transportation infrastructure? What do we got to do? Obviously the oil companies have gotten the benefit of all these roads, because without the roads you wouldn't have cars on them, and they're way ahead of the game with respect to their market share, you know. So
well, what did he say?
Well, no, I'm saying electric car companies and electric vehicles are still they're like neonatal. They're small. We need to help them along in order to get more riders, more owners, and so that's why we haven't switched to vehicles mile traveled yet, but that is the solution. If we're paying for how much of the road you're using per mile, then everybody's paying their fair share.
Even though obviously you know what VMT is, I could have chimed in and given the solution because I listened at the event, whereas I didn't know about that before. And I left, and I think I probably talked to three or four people where I talked about vehicle miles traveled and think, was it Oregon, where they're testing it right now?
They have, yeah.
Trying to explain what it is. I would never talk about these things before I was on the podcast or attending this event.
But that's important. People, this message, that's what I meant, us getting out there and talking about this type of stuff so people think differently, it's going to take time. It's really, really going to take time. But
I'm sure this gets back to who's in the room, because I feel like for someone like me, first event, great impression in terms of education, learn new information, inspired by it, looking at how we're all connected by this idea of transportation because we all have to get places and we all want to do it more efficiently. But it's like, who else is in the room who didn't either already know about it or knows about it but hasn't implemented it? So I guess that's where you were getting of, you know, kind of echoing the same message if each event has the same people. But I think as long as you're bringing in kind of a new group of you know, people to each event, that, you know, they all slowly get integrated.
You know, which I think then, you know, I think it'd be appropriate to plug a couple different organizations in which four people in Southern California, or perhaps California as a whole and other areas of the United States. You know, IPFA, if you have the chance, visit their website. You can see some of the different events they put on. Usually they're free events to attend. I know also there's ITS, which is the Intelligent Transportation Society, as well as ISE, the International Society of Engineers, I think is the name. They're always putting on events throughout the course of the year where people can learn about a lot of these different topics on transportation. So listeners, be sure you check out some of those organizations, and I'm sure there's others. I'm sure anytime you were to look up any kind of university and look at some of the campus events they put on, I'm certain that there's universities such as UC Irvine, such as UCLA, such as Arts Center that have departments focused on transportation. And so I'm sure they're putting events on.
Yeah, and you and I are going to an event this Chapman. Wednesday, actually, at Chapman University, which I'm looking forward to, about the future of transportation. So yeah, I do think that we had a student attend that night from UCLA who's a big fan of this show. You know, shout out to you. And I hope all the other UCLA grad students start listening as well, because one of the benefits of this show is, and there's a lot of them, is you will get educated. You will hear about companies that exist out there that you didn't know exist. You will hear about events, and you will have the leg up if you do listen to this show.
And you'll get varying viewpoints too.
Yeah, that, really, honestly, I'm not kidding when I say there's a lot of reasons why I went onto the show, but one of the main reasons is because of your audience. They do need to hear from the transportation side of the fence. I and all those people that are in the echo chamber do need to hear about the automotive dealers, and they do need to hear about people that still want to primarily use a car but are considering using other options. We need to all get together and talk rather than just continue to speak to our own sides and get nowhere. That's not to get political, but that's one of the main reasons why we have problems in this country. But the one thing that we can agree on as a country is traffic sucks, and we got to fix it. So let's work together. This one thing is that is this common enemy that we can all tackle if we work together.
So one of the positive things, actually, about the event, we're the individual conversations that I specifically was having with the attendees. So you had mentioned there was a gal from UCLA. Mm-hmm. Shout out to her.
Wow, she got two shout outs now on the episode. You know,
new listener, but fan of the show. So it was great to meet her. I feel terrible that I can't remember her name.
Well, we don't have permission to say her name, so we shouldn't be saying.
No, it's fair use. It's fair use.
Perhaps.
There was another conversation I had, actually, that was a very thrilling conversation with a guy named Ian. And we started talking about the bullet train, the high-speed rail in California. And he works for a company, and he has experience from working in England on a lot of these kind of transportation policy issues. And he actually offered some really good insights onto why he thought from the outset that the bullet train was essentially doomed for failure, because they did not implement some of the things that were as basic as what they did in Britain at the time when he's working on some of those high-speed rail projects over there. But it did start to devolve into how transportation, funding transportation, can become an immigration issue, can become contentious because of multiculturalism. It got to a whole new level of a conversation that it would not have thought transportation would have gotten to, but still invigorating to talk with them and get down to a level that, again, I've never talked about with anybody else, pointing, you know, somehow drawing this bridge between transportation and immigration.
Now that people think transportation is cool for the first time in my entire life, I finally super figured cool. out something cool. Yeah, I think more of those types of conversation are going to happen, and they should happen around who's going to pay for it. From the beginning, if you both, if you've ever listened to anything that I've said
no,
or
we've
written,
never heard or listened
I
to
constantly,
you at all.
I constantly, you shouldn't listen to me. You should just laugh at me. I constantly say, yeah, that's all well and good, and yes, we need to redo everything, but who's going to pay for it? How are we going to pay for it? We have funding problems, and government revenues are finite, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's critical that these conversations continue to happen, and we are one of the sources of that conversation. I do think people will continue to speak to their spouses, speak to their significant others, speak to their friends, speak to other people if they listen to our show and think, hey, did you know about VMT, or did you know about, you know, the gas tax? Did you know about ride sharing and experiences? We all commute. Every single one of us commutes. Every single one of us uses transportation. It affects our lives. It's like this common bound. It's like this common binding thing that every single one of us uses, that something that we need to think more about and just stop taking it for granted, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what I took away from the event, exactly what you said. It was a common bond. It's like one thing we cannot argue over. It's like, do you need something to, you know, get from point A to point B? Who's going to say no, no matter how you get there? Again, also was sharing with a coworker of mine a little bit about the event. I can't say I'm giving up my car just yet. I've thought about it. Like, is it possible? Is it possible to get dropped off on the way into work? Is it possible to get a ride?
And so you have thought about it. You see?
I've never thought about it before.
That's very important.
Never thought about it before, but it's so hard. Sometimes you know, you want to grab coffee on the way into the office, or you want to run an errand at lunchtime, and that's the stuff that makes it tough.
For sure.
So I feel like the event was really focused on the future, which is important. And that was probably more the intent. It didn't so much focus on the now and how do you kind of, what are some immediate things that you can do to help, you know, change and move more towards the future. But maybe that's something that we can work on sharing with our listeners about more effectively commuting without a personal vehicle.
I mean, absolutely. I think one of the segments that we're going to be rolling out soon is the travel conversations. And one approach that I take to the travel conversations is, well, how do you take some day trips, or how do you get around using transit as an option? Like, maybe you wanted to spend Saturday watching the NCAA tournament. You were worried about driving because you were planning on having some alcohol. Well, where's a good hotspot to go to? Where can I spend a little day trip? Where can I get around? I'm focused on that. I'm focused on implementing transit into your daily life, not just commuting, but as a part of fun and doing everything. And I do hope that we roll that out more here.
Well, I think the other thing to add to the travel part, right, is when you do start to think about traveling somewhere and using a variety of modes of transportation, you do start to then learn that there are solutions out there for you, but again, it just takes a little bit more extra work to find those solutions, right? And
right.
And a lot of times, when you're not involved in this space as much, you kind of then just rely back towards the traditional modes of bus,
correct,
of trains, and then, you know, having, as I went through the process of scheduling a train, like it's an easy process, but it's tedious. It's a tedious process to go through. But if you do spend the time, if you go to San Francisco, you go to Vegas, you go wherever, and you're like, okay, I need to get from point A to point B, you can usually find a solution to get you from point A to point B. And then, again, that's where all of a sudden these either free market solutions come along, or you have city-sponsored solutions that help fill this void.
Yeah, and I think one of my personal goals, and this has been one of my goals for many years now, and I've written about it, it is to make it less tedious. Because a lot of people just call me up, and they're like, hey, man, I don't want to rent a car, or I'm going to this part of town, and I don't want to have a car. Like, how do I get there? What do I do? What's a good thing for me to do? And so I started documenting these ways to get around and have some fun without actually having a car. And if I can make it less tedious, if we can make it less tedious and people start implementing it, it'll just be better. So it's not just about commuting. It's about using alternatives in every mode of your life, for fun, for your weekends. How do you get around with kids? Somebody's got to do it. No one's doing it, and it should be us, because I love it. I'm passionate about it, and we do a good job as a team. So that's another reason why I'm on the show and want to continue to build out that aspect of it.
I didn't even know there was a Laguna Niguel Metrolink until we proved that Rudy was right and Dennis was wrong.
Whoa. Where did this come from? Do you want to explain why I was partially wrong and why Rudy was partially right?
Well, if the statement of fact was that there is a route from the Laguna Niguel Metrolink to Union Station, that is a true statement. Unfortunately, it was not available during the hours that we were looking to travel. So I think if you were searching in specific parameters, it just didn't come up. So you thought it didn't exist. So,
but you see, that's our job to educate people out there about that. Because nobody else is doing that. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is talking about how do you get from point A to point B to point C without getting super confused, without using a car. And that's what we need to continue to do. We need to continue to explore those alternatives.
All right, let me just relay off who was at the event. So we, and you might have to correct some of my pronunciation here, Rudy. Rehi?
Rehi.
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 Rehi. Rehi Alaganar.
Yep.
Who serves as part of the business intelligence group for Hyperloop One. You have, she's the director of business strategy for Hyperloop One. Chris Livingston, who is a director at KPMG. Jeff Wardle, the executive director of the Graduate Transportation Systems and Design at Art Center. Zachary Wasserman, who's a chief strategy officer at VIA. Alexander Zaman, who is a director of infrastructure finance at Citigroup Global Markets. So that was your panelists.
Correct. And I was the moderator.
And Rudy.
And I did draft all those questions. And we did. And I did send them beforehand. And no, we didn't get on and rehearse. It was improv in a way.
Again, I could tell that it was not necessarily rehearsed, but you had prepared the people, which I think is the best thing, because no one wants to be caught off guard and not have an answer.
No, that's right. That's right. No, if you look for anybody out there who's ever considering doing a panel with me, I promise to make you look really good. Really, really good. I'm like a professional. I've trained for this, like Rocky trained to fight Apollo Creed. I've trained to become one of the best moderator speakers out there in this space.
Well, Rudy, how would you recommend for people to, for neophytes, for people like Kelly, for someone like myself a few months ago, how would you recommend for people to start to get involved and learn about these things?
It's a great question. I mean, I think the easiest way to do it, like the low effort way to do it, is to follow me on Twitter. Salo Rudy, all one word, SALORUDY, because I tweet constantly about this stuff. I tweet the articles that I've written on this, and you can go and you can scroll back for the past year or 2 years or 3 years and see articles that I've either been quoted in or have written. I talk about events that I'm attending, whether or not I'm speaking at. I talk about them and I tweet them out, and people can then go to those events, and I'm constantly at events. Usually go to an event once every 2 weeks, if not once every week. And just reach out. I mean, direct message me on Twitter, and I'll be happy to answer any questions or refer you to great podcasts like this one and other ones that will educate you on this. But to be perfectly honest with you, there's not a lot of podcasts that are talking about what we're talking about. This is the best one.
Or you'll show up at their door and roast them.
No, I would not do that. I would never show up at anybody's door or roast them at all. There are events, like I mentioned, that busted event that happens the final Sunday of every month at this bookstore in Echo Park, where you do learn about people commuting in Los Angeles without a car, and they have different experts speaking at it. So there's tons of stuff out there. There's a whole industry just talking about this stuff.
Kelly, for you, so you have now been de-virginized. So what would be, so for someone like yourself, mm-hmm. what would be your next steps for continuing to learn and follow about what's going on with the future of transportation?
So I think, like Rudy said, it's asking questions, it's keeping an eye out. Like I take more notice of whether it's a news article or something's on the news. I enjoy watching Good Morning America, but around things happening. And then I think as you find things that interest you, like Hyperloop, you know, keeping track of, you know, where is that at, or what can be done to help with the infrastructure. And so with elections coming up, if you're keeping an eye for measures that are going to be on the ballot, or how voting may affect decisions around transportation and funding. I think just, you know, keeping up with current news and talking to people who have the inside information.
Well, listeners, I can't stress enough that, you know, I think one of the things that's knowingly came out of an episode like this is hopefully a way for you all to think about things and through us, through not only listening to us, but just hearing how we process information and some of the things that we're trying to do to help further this transportation future that will still have components, big components of car ownership, that will have big components of a high-speed rail and micromobility. So all of this is all coming together, but you do have to start thinking about it. You do have to start thinking critically about it. And by not only following this podcast, yes, shameless plug, but following, you know, people like Rudy, people like Kelly, and other leaders that are out there, hopefully we can all start to come to these decisions collectively that will help move our own little societies, if that is anywhere from a family, a neighborhood, a city, a county, a state, we can all start to move in the direction we collectively all want to move. On behalf of Rudy, Kelly, and myself, cheers, prost, l'chaim, kipis, nastravi, salud, kampai, mabruk, tutsins, gambe, yamas, to the customer experience.